I'm going to ask you, invite you, encourage you to take out your Bible now, and we're going to read from the book of Acts in the New Testament. As you are probably aware, we have been making our way through this book over the last few weeks, and we're going to continue to do so today. This is the third week we've been in Acts chapter 2. It's a crammed, packed chapter. Lots of stuff going on, lots of things for us to learn. And we're going to be looking at just the last five or six verses there this morning. So Acts chapter 2, and we're going to start reading at verse 42. You may well remember the end of chapter 4, verse 41. The last thing we saw on that day of Pentecost, the Lord added 3,000 souls to their number that day. 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. And now we're going to have a look what happens next. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right, very quickly, I want you to turn to the person next to you, behind you, in front of you, something like that, maybe in a group of two or three, two questions. One thing that really stood out for you in those few verses, something you went, wow, that's really cool. And maybe the second one, I didn't really get that. Something that I didn't really understand. All right, have a quick chat to each other. You've got 2 minutes to do that. That's one question per minute, 30 seconds each to talk for each question. Alrighty, and let's bring it back to this way. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, we do ask that you would speak to us this morning through your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We ask that you would build us in faith and knowledge and love in unity. But Lord, also that you would equip us to be salt and light, witnesses for Jesus Christ in this world. Lord God, we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, one of the things that I have seen the odd person do this weekend is take out their phone and not Snapchat or Instagram, or maybe, but at least take some photos. Every now and then I've seen some photos being taken of some of the different activities that we have done. Now, why would we do that? Well, I suggest there's a couple of reasons why we take these photos. The first is so that we can remember what we did before. And so we might go back over our old photos in a year's time and think, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what we did at church camp last year. Might see a photo of all those people planking last night and go, oh, yeah, I remember that planking fun that we had. Or a photo of the sports that we're going to have later. Yeah, I remember that. But one of the other things that we do with photos, and the reason that we take them, is because we want to show other people what it was like, what we've experienced, what we've enjoyed, the fun that we've had together. And so maybe over this weekend you have taken a few photos and you've posted them. Might have been hashtag church camp. Hashtag corona free. Hashtag it's cold or something like that. And we've let other people know what church camp has been like. Now, what happened though before we had photos, before we had phones, and before we had cameras? How did you let somebody know what something is like? Well, you probably had a couple of different options. You could draw a picture, you could paint a picture of something. Maybe even before that, you could chisel it out in stone. You could sort of make this chiseled picture of what we were doing. People planking last night, sort of chiseled into stone, that could be a good one. Or, probably more likely, is you could write about it. You could write to somebody and you could describe what you were seeing. Now, I want to suggest this morning that these verses in Acts, we have Luke taking a verbal photo, a written photo, really, of the early church and what it was like and what it was doing. Remember what we've seen so far in the book of Acts, that this is the story not of people, but of Jesus Christ. All that he's continuing to do and say by the power of the Holy Spirit through the witness of his church. Over the last couple of weeks, then we've had a look at chapter 2, and we saw what happened when the Holy Spirit came, and those disciples, the apostles, they spoke the wonders of God in different languages so that other people could hear. And then we had a look at the sermon that Peter preached. He proclaimed Christ, his life, his miracles, his death, his rising, his ascending, and the Holy Spirit. And then we saw that 3,000 people came to faith in Christ. So what did they do next? Did they all sort of just go off to their own homes and sort of say, okay, well, I'm different now? No, Luke gives us this snapshot of what the early church, this first church, was like and what it was doing. Now, there's a lot of things that are not in this photo. It doesn't tell us what time on Sunday morning they were meeting or what the dress code was. It doesn't tell us how they did leadership structures and the different types of ministries that they did. But he tells us some of the essentials for a church that is saved by Jesus and saved for Jesus. And I want to highlight four essentials that we see in these verses. Four things that the early church is and does because it's saved by Jesus and saved for Jesus. All right, let's have a look at this photo a little bit more closely. And the first thing we want to notice here is that this church is a learning church. It is a church that is hearing from God and learning from God. It's immersed in and it's devoted to the Word of God. Now, over the last few weeks, we have done a little bit of replanting at our house. Some of the plants that we put in a few years ago haven't kind of been the right ones. They haven't grown. They've sort of fizzled a little bit. Some of them rabbits have eaten and they've had to be taken out. And so we have replanted a few different plants around the property, around our house. Now, one of the worst things that we could do is say, okay, we've got new plants now. We can just leave them and let them go. This is one of the things I've probably learned from the last planting experience. Those plants need to be fed. They need to be watered. If I leave them more than a week, some of them are going to wither up and they're going to die. Apparently, they need fertilizer, I discovered, and that helps them grow even more. So what is it that keeps the church of Jesus Christ alive and fresh and growing and passionate? It's God's Word. Feeding the life of the church, feeding the life of the follower of Jesus. Have a look at how this starts off. It's the very first thing that Luke writes about. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the apostles, they were those ones who had been with Jesus throughout his earthly ministry. They had seen what he'd done. They'd heard his speaking. And he had spent that time between the resurrection and the ascension teaching them about the kingdom of God. And what are they now doing? Well, they are passing that on to this new church. They are bringing the things that Jesus has told them to these new followers of Jesus. And what they continued to do was they continued then to write down different things that Jesus had said and write down what that meant for the church. And we have a lot of what they wrote, or a fair bit of what they wrote now, in God's Word, the Bible. You see, if we divorce ourselves from this word. We take away the source of nourishment for our lives and for the life of the church. Our faith so quickly becomes dry and withered, and it loses its vibrancy. Maybe if you and I, we think about some of the times where we felt really flat in our faith, really blur and not excited. I would hazard a guess that these are often the times where we have not really thought about, read, considered God's word. I know that's very true in my own life. Notice how it puts this here in verse 42. They devoted themselves. That is a very strong word here. This is no, I'm going to have a quick read and then I'm going to move on to the next thing. This is no, I'll miss church this week because I really can't be up to, I'm really not up to it. This is not, I'm going to read the Bible for myself tomorrow because I'm a bit tired, or next week, or next month, or maybe next year. They devoted themselves to this word. They heard what the apostles were saying. They considered it deeply. They thought about what it meant. They wanted to hear more and more of it, because they remembered that Jesus was still doing, and he was still teaching, and he was doing that through his word. Now this morning I want to take another photo. I'm not going to actually do it. I want to take a little bit of a South Bowen selfie and ask the question, how does our photo match the photo that Luke has for us here in Acts? Could he say that South Bowen is a church, a people that is devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to the Word of God? Well, in many ways, we have a lot to be thankful for as a church, don't we, in this regard? This is a church that probably throughout its history has been devoted in many ways to God's Word. We have it right center when we meet together on a Sunday, and in our growth groups and many of the ministries that we have with children and young people in the church. We put God's Word in the center because we know how important it is. But maybe the question I want to ask us is more an individual one. How devoted are you and I to that word? How devoted are we to hearing it and considering it and reading it and thinking about it? Could it be that we are surrounded by spiritual nourishment and food, and yet we've put ourselves on an unhealthy diet? We actually don't make the most of the way that God's word is being preached, studied, proclaimed, when we're together and when we're alone. All right, that's the first thing I want us to notice about this photo. They were devoted. They were a learning church devoted to God's word. Secondly, we want to notice that this church of Jesus is a loving church. Its relationship with the Word of God is devotion, and its relationship to one another was a relationship of love. This church saw itself, its primary function in relating to each other, to encourage one another, to love one another, and to serve one another. This is the glue that was holding this church together. Now I wonder, kids here, have you ever broken something at home that you shouldn't have? I know that I did this several times when I was a kid, and maybe when I wasn't a kid as well. I wonder if you've ever broken something and then you've tried, before mum and dad get home, to glue it back together. You you try that one? I know I had a couple of attempts, usually ended up in a terrible failure, maybe because one of the pieces was still missing somewhere and there was somehow a hole in it. You have to choose the right glue, don't you? If you break something wooden, you've got to get the wood glue. If you break something glass, well, good luck. You're probably not going to get that one back together. You might get the super glue out because it really, really needs to stick. Or maybe craft glue will do. What's the glue that holds the church together? What's the glue that keeps people connected? Well, it's love. It's love for one another. It's the love that God has shown us that we now show to one another in turn. In this snapshot, we get two ways in which this early church was doing this. The first one is there in verse 42, where it says they not only devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, but they also devoted themselves to the fellowship. They were committed to being with one another and fellowshipping with each other. Now, that word fellowship, we've got to be a little bit careful with that because it's become a little bit of a church catchword for anything that we do together. And so we hang out, it's fellowship. We have coffee after church, it's fellowship. We go away on church camp, and it's fellowship. Now, there is definitely a hanging out, being together component to fellowship. It's hard to have fellowship when you never see each other. Absolutely. But it's more than that. It is the practicing of the one another's from the Bible in love with each other. You know all those statements in the Bible that you have, like forgive one another, encourage one another, spur one another on, bear with one another. There's a whole range of them. That is what fellowship is. It's in love, practicing those one another's with each other, and it has this very specific purpose and goal that we encourage each other towards maturity in Christ. So hanging out is great. It's a part of it. It's a great part of it. Having fun and playing games and having coffees and meeting together, wonderful. But fellowship is deeper than that. It's serving, spurring, encouraging, forgiving one another so that we're growing together in maturity in Christ. Now notice that it says here that they devoted themselves to that again. They devoted themselves to this because this actually doesn't come easily. And maybe it doesn't even come naturally. It's not like you can just wake up in the morning and without thinking about it, you're in good fellowship mode. Because life is busy and I get distracted. And sometimes I don't like to be around people. And so it's something that we need to devote ourselves to. Now the second way we see this being expressed here is a little later on in the passage. In verse 44 and verse 45. They tell us that they were together and they had all things in common. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. What were they doing here? They were genuinely caring for each other and serving one another with the things that God had given them. Now, one of the ways to read this is like, well, it was like a communist country. Everybody kind of shared all their possessions and their belongings and there was no ownership of anything. It's not quite the picture. It says, as needed, they were happy to sell something, give something, use something for the benefit and the blessing of another person. Now, this wasn't for show. This wasn't so that they could puff themselves out and say, look how generous I am. In chapter 5, I think it is, we're going to see a story of what happens when it's for show and it's not a good outcome with Ananias and Sapphira. This was a genuine concern to love and serve each other as Christ has loved and served us. All right, South Bowen selfie time. How are we going with this church? How are we going with serving one another in love, encouraging each other, using the things that God has given us to bless one another? Well, in many ways, again, there's so many good things that happen in the life of our church. So many wonderful ministries with leaders and helpers and volunteers who take their time. We have great experiences on a church camp like this, where we hang out and we have lots and lots of fun together, and we have good conversations which spur one another on. Church, may it encourage us to think about whether we're devoted to fellowship, whether we're devoted to the one another's in love. It's so easy to do this when it's convenient, when it's not very costly, when we happen to be together anyway. But what about in between? And what about when we're not in the mood for it and it's not easy? And what about those who are on the fringes of church life? Are we devoted to them, to encouraging them, to spurring them on? Or is it easy for us to just forget and leave people behind and move on? All right, that's the second thing we see in this photo. I will speed up maybe a little bit here. The third thing we notice from this photo is that this church of Jesus is a worshiping church. It's a church that is loving to express its devotion and its love to the Heavenly Father. It's a relationship of worship, joyful adoration, and awe. It's a church that is aware of all that God has done for it in Christ. And this bubbles over into praise and a worship. Have a look, verse 42 again. They devoted themselves, the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They devoted themselves to these acts of worship and spiritual intimacy with God. Lord's Supper and praying. Notice also down in verse 46, the end of it. Oh, sorry, 46. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God. Praising God. Now, notice throughout this, there's both formal and informal. So they are getting together in the temple courts, intentional, planned, praising God together. And informal. They're meeting together in each other's homes. And not just because they had growth group planned for a Tuesday night and that's where everybody got together, but you get the sense that there was a lot more informality about this. They came over, they spent time together, and they praised God. And notice, not only there's this contrast, but there's both solemn and joyful happening. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul. There was this deep sense of awe and amazement at what God was doing in their midst. It talks about the miracles that God was performing through the apostles amongst them. They were deeply reverent, respectful, amazed at what God had done. And they were praising God they had glad and generous hearts. And the words used there are quite exuberant words. They were outflowing with joyful praise to God for all that He had done for them. See, I want to suggest that in these two contrasts, we actually get something of the scope of what worship is for the Church of Jesus Christ. It's formal and it's informal. It's solemn and sincere and genuine and serious. And it's joyful and exuberant and outward as well. And in everything in between, here's a church that is worshiping God for His goodness in Christ. And we have a lot to give thanks for in our church at South Bowen as we look a little at our South Bowen selfie. And we have a wonderful music team which help us each and every Sunday. We have people who lead worship as well. But South Bowen, is worship something that's just confined to an hour and 15 minutes on a Sunday? Or is this our life together throughout the week? Are we meeting together and talking about the good things that God has done in our lives? Are we in awe together at the goodness and the faithfulness of God? His work in saving us, saving each other. Are we spurring each other on to give praise and worship to our God together? Fourthly and finally, this photo of this early church. This church of Jesus, saved by Jesus, saved for Jesus, is an outward-looking church. It is thinking about its place in the world. And it remembers that Jesus is still at work seeking and saving lost people by the power of the Holy Spirit through the witness of the church. These are new believers. What happens with them? Well, if you jump down to verse 47, we get this little look. It says they were praising God and they were having favor with all the people. People were looking at them and seeing something different about their lives. The fact that they were gathering together with such praise and awe. The fact that they were sharing their lives with each other. They were selling possessions to help each other. The fact that they were studying around God's Word together said something. It was different and people noticed it. They were enjoying the favor of the people around about them. Now, that doesn't mean to say they were universally liked by everybody. In the coming couple of chapters, we're going to see that the opposition ramps up. As this church grows and as it proclaims Christ, there are going to be lots of people and governments that oppose them and oppose the message. But people saw that there was something different about their lives. It made them curious. It gave them opportunities to speak. And look again how that verse ends, how this little section ends. After telling us that there were 3,000 people on the day of Pentecost, it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. The Lord did it. God did it. God did it to a church that was focused on His Word, studying it, thinking about it, devoted to it, being fed by it, encouraged by it. He did it to this church that was devoted to one another, loving and serving in a way that is not humanly possible, but only comes about as God works in our lives. He did it amongst a church that was joyful and praising and worshiping their great God together. The Lord added daily, day by day, to their number, those who are being saved. Church, I wonder if this is a prayer that we have for us at South Bowen. I wonder if we look at that selfie photo, we have this honest, earnest, genuine desire that we need a wide-angle camera next time, because there will be more people added to it by God. This weekend, we've been really challenged. Yesterday was wonderfully encouraging, wasn't it? Great ideas and great things to think about. But it was also challenging, wasn't it? Are we making the most of those opportunities that God gives us? Are we praying for people? Are we having conversations, sharing our lives with them? Are we inviting them into places where they can hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're going to actually do that now. We're going to pray for that now. We're going to do that a little bit different this morning. We're going to do that in groups around about where we're sitting. I want to take some time in those groups of five or six people to think about this photo, the snapshot of the early church, and to pray that God would be at work making those things a reality for South Barwon. It'd be a church devoted to His Word, a church devoted to one another, joyful in worship, and a church that He is adding to those who are being saved. So please turn around. Maybe we have take five minutes or so. Pray together. And don't be embarrassed. They don't have to be long prayers. They don't have to be complicated prayers. Simple prayers are plenty good. Let's pray together. We're going to sing one last song, committing ourselves to God's work amongst us and through us. Let me just close with these words from the book of Revelation. It says, "To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood and has made us a kingdom, priests to God and His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."